Well, this story that Matt just read for us a moment ago is one of those stories in which Jesus is the one that people come to, and he is the one who heals them, showing the power and the authority that he had. And in this particular case, the situation is someone who's unable to speak and unable to hear. The idea of hearing is something that I think even those without a physical ailment of hearing would struggle with from time to time. Listening and hearing can be difficult sometimes. You might remember from when you were a kid the game called Telephone. Anybody remember playing that? If we had time this morning, we would try to see what we could come up with. You know, it's where you start on one side of the room with a message, and then it makes it to the other side of the room. For example, you might say something to the first person in the room. Kenji has the brightest wardrobe. Matt says it always livens up the church. Right? So that might be what you start with. But by the time it got to the other side of the sanctuary, it probably would be something along the lines of, Kenji has a wonderful wardrobe he is giving Matt to liven up his new church. I mean, you know, there might be some options here. It might actually come to fruition. Who knows? But these things happen where the message gets lost and misheard along the way. We actually had an experience like that earlier this summer. Matt and Kenji and I were a part of the worship team for our South Georgia annual conference meeting down at Epworth by the Sea on St. Simon's Island. And on the night that our church was asked to lead the music, we had gone through most of the music and we had some extra songs at the end just in case people wanted to stay around a little bit longer and pray. And we had gone through this one song called Waymaker. It's one we do at our 9 o'clock service, and it's got this great line in it that says, even when I don't see it, you're working. And the way that Kenji does it, it's got a nice little groove to it. He goes into a reggae kind of break at that point. So it's kind of like a little back and forth type thing that really spices it up and adds some life to it. Well, after we finished that song, the next song we had in our stack of music is the song called Oceans, which is about, I will call upon your name, follow you out on the water, Spirit, lead me where, trust without borders. And it's a beautiful song that's nice and flowing. Da, da, da. And I turned to Tori, who was the singer beside me. I said, Tori, let's just play through Oceans instrumentally. She turns to Kenji. Kenji turns to Matt. Matt relays the message to our drummer, Leslie. And next thing we know, Leslie counts us into the song and starts playing Oceans with a reggae beat. And so here we are. Everybody else is like, da, da, da. And Leslie's just over there grooving. Don't know why we're doing this, but I'm here for it. And so it was this really incredible moment of just not hearing clearly the message that was being passed around the stage, a real-life example of the game Telephone. But, you know, that's not usually what we're struggling with. We're not usually trying to get the right information across via a game like Telephone. Instead, we're trying to hear the right messages for our lives. We're trying to hear what it is that we need for guidance and hope in our lives. And many of us, we struggle not with a physical ailment of death, being deaf, but we struggle with our ears being clogged. We can't hear what it is that we need to hear. Sometimes we're hearing the wrong message. It might be the message of the world that is calling us to live a life that's just filled with the worries of this world and filled with all the desires and the temptations that this world has to offer. And we have to unclog our ears to come back to hearing the gospel clearly. For others of us, there might be struggles in our life. There might be mistakes we've made in the past. There might be addictions that we are dealing with, and we don't feel that we measure up. And it's hard for us to hear the truth of the message that God loves us and that we are people of worth. Sometimes it's hard to hear the message that we are supposed to hear because we can't hear clearly. There's something that might be broken in our lives that's keeping us from being healed and whole and hearing what it is that God has for us. So the question for us as we come to this story this morning is a simple one. What is holding us back from hearing clearly? What is it in your life, maybe, that you bring to this story that might stand in the way of you hearing the message of the gospel clearly? What is it in your life, in the worries and the struggles and the difficulties, or maybe even in your past, that might prevent you from hearing the truth of what God's love means for you and for your life? What is holding us back from hearing clearly? In this particular story, we have right out of the gate the assistance of other people coming in to be a part of the story. We see in verse 32, it tells us that there in that place, some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. Very simply, what we see right out of the gate is other people see someone in need and they take the action necessary to bring them to the person who can give them the healing that they need. And for us, a lot of times what we need to get us to a place of healing, to get us to a place of hearing more clearly, is we need the assistance of others. There's this incredible story earlier in Mark's gospel. This is kind of a recurring theme we see in some of the healing stories, in which Jesus is preaching in a house, and the house becomes so packed that people can't even make it into the doorway. But there was a group of four friends who wanted to help their other friend who was unable to walk be able to be brought to the feet of Jesus so that Jesus could heal him. And so they did what any logical four guys would do when they get together. They said, "We've got a plan." And what they did is they ended up cutting a hole in the roof of the house. Not sure how the homeowner felt about that, but they cut this hole in the house that's big enough to lower down the man on a mat. And so they lower him in through the busted out roof, and there he is brought to the feet of Jesus. And Jesus says, "Son, your sins are forgiven. Get up and walk." It's this incredible moment of healing, and it only happens because people are willing to take the initiative to bring their friend to someone that can heal them and give them the hope that they long for. I don't know about you, but in my life, there have been times that I have had to carry others on a mat, and there have been a lot of times I've needed them to carry me and lower me and put me at the feet of Jesus. I think back to a time almost 10 years ago, me and a group of friends of mine had rented a place on Jekyll Island along with our families, and we were staying down there and sharing some time together during a conference meeting that we were going to. And one night, I thought I was the only person awake in that house, and I was just struggling. I was dealing with some things in my life, and I was conflicted, and I needed hope, I needed healing, and I needed someone to come alongside me and to walk with me. And one of my friends, he ended up kind of not being able to fall asleep, and so he came downstairs, and he walks in the living room, and he had that look on his face when he walked in that he knew something was wrong with me. And he says, what's going on? What do you need to talk about? And we ended up getting up, walking out the door. We were only a short ways away from the beach. We ended up walking on the beach in the darkness, and I started pouring out my heart to him. It was one of those moments I needed someone to carry me. I could not get the hope and the healing I needed on my own. I needed someone to be there alongside me, to bring me to the place of hearing the words of Jesus, to bring me to the place of knowing that I was worth the call that God had put on my life and that there was hope for me even in the midst of what I was walking through. And there are going to be times when you're going to see people who need you to carry them. And that's an incredible gift that we can give. But then there are other times that you're the one who needs to be carried. And it takes us being willing to be led to where we need to be and trusting those who come alongside us to guide us to the hope and the healing that we need. And so these others, they chime in and they end up bringing this man to Jesus. And it's there that we see the healing take place. In verse 33, we're told, after he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened. His tongue was loosened and he began to speak plainly. Here in this moment, we see what in this story and in this sermon is going to be the simplest truth, but also the most important. It's going to be the least profound, but it's also the most important. And it is simply this. God can heal us. God can heal us. The people brought the man to the one who was able to heal them. And we see through the actions of Jesus that God heals this man and God gives him the hope. He is able to hear again. He is able to speak again. He is able to not only hear the teachings of Jesus, but share them with others. He is able to participate in the life of the community and be have a sense of being whole and connected again. Because God healed him through the power of Jesus in that moment. I love reading Mark's gospel. I always have kind of this weird fascination with Mark because Mark is the gospel where we get the nitty-gritty details. We get the behind the scenes. We get the actions, and we can almost hear the gospel taking place. You may remember a song that came out back probably about 25 years ago called Babylon. It was by a singer-songwriter by the name of David Gray. If you don't know that name and don't know that artist's name, I'm sure you heard it in a commercial or in a TV show. It was very popular at the time. And I love the song, "If You Want It, Come and Get It." It sounds much better than that on the recording. And David Gray, he recorded it with a group of friends of his in his apartment in New York City with the window open. And if you listen closely to the recording, maybe with some headphones on, you can hear cars driving by on the street down below. You can hear the sound of emergency vehicles in the distance. You can hear the honking of a horn. You can hear what's going on behind the scenes as that moment was captured. And Mark's gospel is a little bit of the same way. We hear the gospel. We hear and see the nitty-gritty. Jesus is not some eloquent, distant master. Jesus is there in the intimacy of the moment, in the nitty-gritty and in the touch and feel of people's lives. We see Jesus spitting on the man, spitting and touching the man's tongue. We see Jesus putting his hands into the ears of this man. And then we hear this beautiful phrase that I encourage you to spend the entire next week speaking out loud whenever you need to hear clearly. Ephatha, Ephatha. And with those words, which meant be opened, the man's ears were opened and he was able to hear. And for us, we need that experience of healing and hope. Perhaps there's something that we need to hear. Perhaps there's something that needs to be healed within us. For many of us, the healing that we need is not physical, but it might be emotional. It might be a burden, a strain on our lives. It might be a relationship that's broken, and we need healing and hope. It might be a mental affliction. There might be something in our mental health that is holding us back, and we're taking all the right steps, we're doing all the right things, but there is a hope and a healing that only God can offer. It might be something spiritual. It might be a sense that we're not worthy enough for God's love, and God wants to speak into our lives and say, Ephatha, hear, be opened, hear the gospel and know that you are a child of God and a person of worth and so loved and worthy of the grace and mercy that has been given to you through Jesus Christ. God can heal us of whatever it is that afflicts us. Every time I hear this story and read back through it, I think back to a story I heard several years ago. And it's a story I always struggle with whether to share or not because of the details involved in it. But it's one of those stories that captures so beautifully what this story is all about, of hearing what you need to hear, of having your ears opened when it does not seem possible. There's a song that we sing from time to time, usually around Easter time and occasionally at funerals. And I imagine if we were going to do a poll in here and we ask you to raise your hand if you loved it and ask you to raise your hand if you think it's the worst song in the hymnal, the room would probably be pretty split on that poll. And if we asked if you were indifferent about it, there would be very few hands that would go up. It is one of those songs, either you love it or you hate it. It is one of those songs that you either say to Kenji, I want you to sing this at my funeral, or you say to me, you can sing that over my dead body, because those mean two different things. It is the song, the most controversial song and the most split opinion hymn, I believe, in the hymn book, called In the Garden. I come to the garden alone. And then the chorus has the beautiful, sentimental tone, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me, I am his own. There was a worship professor who taught at seminaries for several years by the name of Tex Sample. And Tex Sample did not like that song at all. He thought it was overly sentimental, and he encouraged his students in his worship class not to pick that song because it was overly sentimental, the music was benign, I mean, it was just everything, he didn't like anything about it. And he would make a point in all of his classes to get up there and make fun of the hymn in the garden. And he would get up there and he would do this little dance that I'm not going to do for you, but he would be like, and he walks with me, and he's just you know, really hamming it up and making fun of it before the class. And he would say, you know, don't pick that song, you need to pick more serious songs that tell about the teachings of Jesus and the glory of God, and don't get caught up in all of that sentimental type worship music. And so he went through that one day in his class, and this lady who was in her 30s walks up to him at the end of class, fighting back tears. And she looked at him with a face that said that she meant what she was about to say, and she said, don't ever do that again. He was kind of taken aback, and he said, I thought it was funny. I mean, I'm just trying to make light. I mean, you pick the hymn if you want to, but I'm just trying to make light of the fact that I think it's a terrible song in our hymn books. And she said, here's why. When I was a teenager and my father began to abuse me, we had this garden out back behind our house. And every time I would walk out of the house and I would walk into that garden, and whenever I did, the words of that song were all that could get me through. I would walk into that garden alone, and I would hear the words, he walks with me, he talks with me, he tells me that I am his own. And she said, that's the only thing that gave me hope. So why do we tell that story? Because there are some of us that are so desperately in need of healing and hope, and for our ears to be opened to hear the message that he walks with us, he talks with us, that we belong to him, that we are loved by him, that we are forgiven and offered grace through Jesus Christ. We need to hear these messages of hope, but we can't hear them because we are clogged. And what would it take for a woman who was going through that to hear a message so clearly that God loved her and was with her even in the midst of her darkest moment? It would take a miracle of Jesus speaking into her life, Ephatha, be opened. Hear that you are loved. Hear that you are whole. You can be healed. And several years later, this woman, for whatever reason, heard that message through that miracle of God's presence with her in the midst of darkness. And she said, I'm going to go to seminary so that I can tell others about the love that I've experienced and the healing and the hope that God has spoken into my life. She went from one needing to be carried in on the mat to helping carry others because of the miracle that God had done in her life. So this morning, I want to ask you, what do you need to hear? What is it that God is trying to speak into your life, but your ears are clogged, your hope is cut off, and you can't hear the message clearly enough? And then what needs healing? Is there something physical that needs to be healed within you? Is there a burden that you're carrying that is weighing you down? Is there a sense of a struggle, a temptation, an addiction, whatever it might be, that you cannot seem to break free from? And you know, if God could work a miracle in your life to set you free from that, it would make all the difference in your life. Is there something that you are carrying? Is there a struggle, an emotion, something in your mental or spiritual health that you just need to simply break through from? What do you need to hear, and what needs healing? Our takeaway this morning, I believe, is that God is calling us to help those to Jesus when we are in a position of strength and we are able to help carry them to Jesus. And for those of us who are in need of healing, in need of hope, in need of being made whole, to come to the one who can heal and to the one who can save.